Astros lead this game 7-1.
Yiner Diaz.
There you go. Home run call of the day. Yiner Diaz with the home run. Todd Callis with the home run call. The Houston Astros, after a rough weekend in Boston getting swept, they are righting the ship back on top of the American League West. All is right in the world with the Houston Astros. All is right in the world with a lot of the teams, right? After the deadline, we're sifting through who was contenders, who were making feeling good heading into the middle of August. Cleveland keeps on winning. You have teams like that who are just hanging in. Seattle, same thing. Toronto, the top of the American League East. Listen, it's that time of year where teams have to identify themselves. You have the little push to the trade deadline, and then you have the reality of mid-August, and then you have the rubber meets the road time in September, and then, of course, there's October. Well, a team that has identified itself as feeling really, really good about itself is the Boston Red Sox. 7 in a row now, 13 games over 500, now chasing the best record in the American League. Who would have thought? Chasing the Toronto Blue Jays in the division, but also chasing the best record in the American League, because the American League, Detroit has come back to the pack. There isn't a dominant team. And so we have to talk about the Red Sox. I know that we follow and we talk a lot about them, but we also have to sit down, do our annual sit down with manager Alex Cora. It's a good time to do it because, you know what? All is right in the world with Alex Cora being the manager of the Boston Red Sox. But as we sit here and as he has landed in this spot, it's a great time to reflect on the roller coaster of how long the season is, how different it feels, how he is able to sort of weather the storm when it comes to a Major League Baseball season, the ups and the downs, the exhaustion, and then you land in August and all of a sudden it's the jumper cables of a pennant race. That's exactly what it is. So that's what I wanted to talk to Alex about. Yes, there is a chance he still gets his baseballs and boring tattoo. Of course, he agreed to do that if they won the World Series. So we know the percentages of that. We talk about that at the very beginning of the podcast. But more importantly, we talk about all things Alex Cora's lot in life right now in the place that is electric, Fenway Park, with the team that is on fire, the Boston Red Sox. What is Alex Cora thinking, feeling? What experiences can he draw on? How does it feel compared to other teams previously? All of that. What was the trade deadline like sitting up in the couch in the war room of the Red Sox? All right, it's always a good time when I sit down with Alex, where there's just a little bit more of a casual conversation, and there's no better time to do it. All right, again, I appreciate everybody at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. Appreciate all the help, all the podcasts, all the listeners. You go check out the podcast that we dropped just on Monday, where you have obviously great one, Courtney Finnegan sitting down with Adam Jones, who is going to the Orioles Hall of Fame. You go check out that podcast. It's a really, really good conversation. So we're going to keep them coming. It's a good time to jump aboard. Baseball isn't boring. All right, this is a good one. Alex Cora. Guess what? There's no human being I'd rather be talking to than Alex Cora. See, it gets a laugh. It gets a smile every time, doesn't it?
Baseball is not boring.
So. Thank you. You ready? I looked up the Fangraph play odds to win the World Series. I don't look at it that way. I look at the Fangraph odds to you getting a baseball and boring tattoo.
That's so true. Totally forgot about that.
Oh, no. The list is getting long.
It's okay.
It's all right?
Yeah, man.
All right? Okay.
Hey,
let it be done?
Yeah.
All right.
Bloody battery recharge. Wow, that's solid.
What?
My watch is telling me that. I just recharge.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, technology, it's great. All right, congratulations.
For what?
To making it to August. I mean, to make it to August. So what I wanted to talk to you about is, like, getting through a baseball season as a major league manager, right? It's
I don't think it's talked about enough. Like, yeah, you got the off season, but it's an exhausting thing, man. Like, and also the when you get to this point in the season, it's like, okay, I don't know if you get like a second wind or not, but I've never been a major league manager. You have. Tell me how hard it is, and is it hard? Has it become harder?
Hold on to that thing. That could be your college education. It's become actually easier, like understanding that you're not going to win every game. You're not going to make it to the playoff every year. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have great seasons every year. Kind of like accepting that has helped me kind of like deal with the whole season. Tell you a few years ago, you know, like the days of taking the laptop to the house, you know, and
you
the
did
iPads.
What,
I used to.
What year did that end?
When I came back in 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so 18, it was, I mean, you had a good team, so.
Yeah, but still, it was like my first year and just digging for information. 19, the same thing. And then 20, obviously, the suspension. When I got back, I promised myself, hey, man, you got to take care of the family, right?
Yeah.
You got to have fun with them. And you got to take care of you. Then I think the game changer was 23. September 22nd, 23, when I decided to start running.
Oh, the running, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lose some weight and get healthy and in shape, and that has been awesome, you know? Like, when in doubt, get up and run five. Like, and now it's easy.
Is that what you tell Tito? It's like, hey, Tito.
He has no chance. I wish, man. Yeah. I wish. He swims.
Yeah.
So he swims.
But could you look back at, let's say they say that, like, so 07, right? 07, 08, when you were watching Francona going through that, you probably has a different perspective. And by the way, like, those personalities, I guess, like, you guys had a good control of it in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
But can you imagine managing, like, that group? It's good and bad, right?
I mean, it's...
They're talented.
Yeah, I mean, 07 was easy in a sense.
Yeah.
08 was tough.
Yeah.
06 was tough.
Oh, yeah.
05, when I got traded, was very tough.
Yeah.
I got here right before the All-Star game, and they had to make decisions, who's going, who's not. And certain guys didn't go, and they got upset. You know, I was like, oh, I thought this is the kumbaya group, you know? We all get together.
And then switch in a hurry from home.
Bro, it was like, oh, my God, what's going on here? Yeah. So 05 was tough. 06, injuries. Yeah. You know, we didn't have a good team. 07 was great. 08 was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
But do you think Tito understood what you're talking about by then? I mean, he probably was the same exact way you were when he was with the Phillies.
I bet, around that time he had control of the situations. He leaned on us a lot.
The clubhouse.
Yeah. He let us be and take care of things in the clubhouse. And he trusted us.
Yeah.
You know, like, we'll have conversations about stuff, you know, and he's like, okay, you know, this is where we're at right now. It's not that he used us to get information. He trusted us to do the right things in the clubhouse, and I think that's the reason made it work.
Could you do that more with this group? Certainly than in the last couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
More mature group.
Yeah.
You know, Sedan has been here, what, 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Bayo, 2.5 years. Jaron has been here. Ref. It's not that we had the same group as last year, but there were guys that been here, you know, through the struggles. And, you know, adding other pieces that are part of it.
That's what I mean.
Like Lucas, you know, he been there, done that, but now he's playing.
Yeah.
So now, you know, he can be a voice in there. Walk can be a voice, you know, because of the rings and the stripes, right? And Alex, of course, you know, they've been through this, you know, and they all they know is playing in October. So whatever they feel we have to do, you know, we listen to it and we make adjustments.
To go back to, like, the exhaustion, when you go back to 18, When did you realize in that year, even as good as you guys were, congratulations on starting like 19, was it 19? You always correct
17
me.
And 2.
17 and 2.
And then we got no hit.
You got no hit?
Yeah, in Oakland.
Oh, Manaya?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Oakland, yeah.
Okay. But when did that hit that year where like, we're good and this is still fucking exhausting?
It was, they showed the highlight the other day when Piercy hit the three homers.
Yeah.
That series was, you know, kind of like, yeah. But it was like, oh shit, we still got 2 months of this, you know, to actually
yeah.
perform because it was win it all or bust, basically.
Yeah.
We weren't the favorites coming out, but then we did what we did, and it's like, they better win it. And that's a lot of pressure. But it never, like, cracked our clubhouse.
Yeah.
Never felt like, oh, you know, we have to win it. We have to win it, you know.
But did you feel that way as, like, the first-time manager?
I didn't feel the pressure, but I knew that,
yeah.
you know, it was we needed to win. you know, like, from my end, it was like, okay, we have to win this thing. And but that weekend, it was a 4-game series, right?
Yeah.
And Benny got the walk-off at the end.
Yeah.
And then we went on the road. And, you know, after the weekend, I was like, oh, okay, we basically clinched the division
yeah.
early.
Yeah.
We still have to play.
Yeah. And then you worried about, like, what's around the yeah. corner or the whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we had decisions to make.
Yeah.
That's when the medical staff jump in and,
yeah.
okay, we got to take care,
way, yeah.
we gotta take care of guys.
Thank you. I owe my career to you. You know why?
Why?
Because you convinced that to put Joe Kelly on the playoff roster because he threw a hard.
100,
right?
100.
I mean, really?
I'm not going to leave 100 in the closet. no chance.
No.
With all due respect.
With all due respect
to the big man.
Drew Palmer.
No, yeah. and to the big man, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, like. Dave, you know, but he likes Velo too.
Yeah.
And I still remember that. I was like, hey.
Really?
I'm not going to leave 100 in the closet. and I mean, he was magnificent.
You were right.
He was great.
I mean, he
great.
Made a lot of money.
He did. He
yeah.
did game two. You know, he came in after DP
yeah.
struggle. And he did a good job.
Yeah.
Gave us innings. And then after that, did an amazing job. And, you know, he was our... He was our defender against Yasmani Grandal in the World Series. I mean, he faced him, what, like 3 or 4 times?
Yeah.
Struck him out 3 times
yeah,
before?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
So you talk about back then, August, whatever this is. Does it feel like that? Does it feel like, okay, here we go? I know that, like, obviously that you have, whatever, 40 games left.
Yeah.
But does it, is there a difference?
It's feeling better.
Yeah.
It's feeling better than the last 3 years.
No, I know, but does it like, the end, like,
mm-hmm.
probably the
I
jumper
mean,
cable.
I got a text from Bress yesterday.
Yeah.
Last night about the attendance.
Oh, right.
Best attendance in 6 years, you know, like.
Is that true?
I mean, like, paid attendance.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Monday against Kansas City? Here we go.
It's not Friday.
It's not Friday. It's Monday against Kansas City. That's what it used to be all about here. It was like when in Cleveland back in the day. It didn't matter. And that's what we were trying to accomplish, you know. And you feel the vibe,
yeah.
you know. Like, I joke around, but it's the truth. You know, how people treat you at restaurants.
Is that true?
So they don't pay. The whole, like, you don't pay a meal.
You
That's not
true. No, dude, like, you're good at paying for meals, like, going back to.
Yeah. But, you know, like, the whole, like, you win a World Series and you will never pay a meal.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No?
They paid shots. But they sent a drink, you know? So the other day, me and Angelica... We went to a sushi place right by the house, and that was the night of the trading deadline.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and one thing about people here, they're good at letting you be. You know,
mm-hmm.
like when you're out with the family, you know, they're very respective. They respect, you know, the fact that you're hanging out with the family or your partner, whatever, and they leave you alone. They always, hey, go Sox, whatever. But that day, some guy came with, like, Are you happy with what happened today?
Oh, yes.
Like, we're good. Okay, cool. Let's go.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And then sent two shots.
That's it?
Yeah, two shots after that.
If it was only that easy.
You were like, okay, here we go.
You only had like 35,000 people to do that for. Like,
can you imagine? That's a goal, you know, November 2nd, hopefully.
It is true what you said about the crowd. Like, I've been going to Citizens Bank for the last couple of years in the playoffs, and Alex, like, they tried to like enact their will on it, and here that just wasn't the case. It was Alex Cooper night. It was Noah Kahn night. It was, hey, we're happy to be here night. Whatever it is. Now, I said this on the radio yesterday. I said, every time that you had said what a great crowd it was usually after a Friday night game.
Yes.
Because Friday night games are cool, right?
Cool, great.
Yeah?
Great.
But now, to your point, this is a Monday game.
Yes.
And it feels like they're actually doing what those Philly fans do. You know what I'm saying? Does that feel that way?
Yeah. And the thing here, and you guys don't know it, don't feel it. So, as you know, the field is above the dugouts.
Yeah.
So, certain times in the dugout, it feels like it's quiet. It's not as loud, but when you go out there, you know, you're like, oh.
Oh, really?
Loud. Yeah, yeah, it's loud.
Tell?
No. Really? Sometimes I'm like, man, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But I asked Huddy, I asked our players, he's like, no, it's loud. You know, out there it's loud.
Yeah.
In here, because we're below, it doesn't feel that way.
I surface this example that I've probably surfaced way too many times today in my story about you sitting here with Pedroia. You don't remember it, I'm sure.
No, but I read it. Yeah,
yeah, but I will never. And I believe me, it happened.
Yeah,
it was like because it was, you know, with Pedroia, when he lets his guard down, it's a noticeable thing.
Yeah,
and he just turns to you and says, "Is it like this every time, every place?"
Every place.
And you're like, "No." Nah. And that was 07. I mean, he was a rookie.
Yeah,
and it made me think of like these kids who are here.
I mean, you read the quotes and the way they're reacting to things, they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
They are. And it's been fun. It's been fun. We still have to make a few adjustments.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
like, I mean, it's interesting because, and I have talked to the people that do the entertainment here. You know, I'm a big proposal, louder music.
You said this the other day. I wanted to ask you about that. You said it in like 2 seconds in the press conference the other day.
Yeah, it started with the Dodger series. The music got louder. And, you know, with all the respect to, you know, like Sean and C and everybody that hate that, you know, but it's a different crowd.
Yeah.
It's younger. If you go around the league, you know, the entertainment part of it, they push the fan base to scream, to get up, you know, to do all kinds of stuff. You go to Citi Field now, it's a party from the get-go. Dodger Stadium, which is tradition, right? It's not Fenway. They push the noise up, and they push the crowd to make noise. Wrigley, I mean, it's incredible,
yeah.
You know? And I get it. You know, we respect the tradition of the game, and our fans are they know the game.
Mm.
But in an era that you're here, but are you watching?
Oh, it's different.
I mean, it's like,
yeah,
right? Oh,
yeah,
they're here, but they're here.
Yeah.
So what can we do for them to get more involved? Well, first things first, you got to play better.
Yeah.
We're doing that. Second, you know, what
did
we
you
can
tell
do.
Them? Did you?
No, we always talk about it. And, I, you know.
I mean, not to say that, hey, you better turn up the music.
No. But, I mean, pop music is cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Mr. Brightside is cool.
Yeah.
You know, with the lights, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Chappie coming in at the end,
yeah.
That's fun, you know?
Yeah.
And they're living it now. Like, in the beginning, it was the other day when I had to bring him in with two outs, I think it was. I was out there, he came in, and that whole freaking stand got up.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, we get in there, and I joke around, you know, like, the wave, I still, you know, I'm not a big fan of it.
Nah, it's just...
But, I mean, like, bases loaded, Alex Bregman at the plate, with the wave going, no, you know, we should be standing up and making noise and making it uncomfortable for that pitcher. Pitch come, get it up, you know? You never know, man. It's like, you never know.
All right, I do want to ask you about, you said, like, your dynamic being up in the trade deadline that you had never done before. Because, you know, I find that really interesting. Number one, that you had never been up there. And number two, like...
I mean, we've been on the road
yeah.
for the last... In 21, well, we were in Tampa.
When Dave took the front office to Anaheim, you were... It was like, I think it was like 18 or 19. You guys are on the deadline.
No, 19 we were here.
It must have been 18.
And we decided we weren't doing much.
Yeah.
18,
yeah.
18, we were here too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably talking 17 before I got here.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, all I know is that he took 20 guys.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
So what was the thing that's, like, you had mentioned, like, how they grind and they grind and they grind.
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
Like, the phone calls, the meetings, in the computer looking for information, you know, medical. It's the last hour is very intense.
Yeah.
You know? I was just there, shorts and sandals, and just watching, you know. And they asked me a question, I'll answer it. But I wasn't in there to push for stuff, you know. I wanted to see, and if they had any questions, then I'll help them out. But just watching them operate, it's not easy, man, you know. And you could feel, it's like we always talk about, you know, like deadlines, right?
Yeah.
Like times, you know, like, you know, the shot clock, right?
Yeah.
And then now the pitch clock, you know, that puts pressure on people.
Everyone ultimately is beholden to deadlines.
Right, right. I mean, like, you go to the lockout a few years ago, that last hour, there were a lot of trades, a lot of deals, right? Seager, Simeon, Jackie to Milwaukee, you know, and it was like under pressure, you know, and, that's how it felt, you know. It was eye-opening, very, you know, educational hour for me, just watching the whole thing. And at the end, like I said, in the podium up there, we got better. We got two good pitchers. We kept our position players, which are really, really good. We're deep, and now we go.
We just had on Thad Levine, and he was explaining sort of how Minnesota does it, which I thought was interesting. And I don't know if everybody does it. Maybe Dave does it a different way.
Yeah.
But you talk about a lot of people on a lot of phones. He said Minnesota basically, like, everyone but the guy is, like, working the phones, and then they come back to Derek. Is it, like, were you surprised at how many people were doing stuff?
No, I had an idea from talking to people on how we operate, you know, but... You know, it's intense. It's intense. And at the end, I mean, if you look at Brest the next day, he looked like he lost like 10 pounds, right?
The next day, the Zoom call right after.
Yeah, right after. So it's a lot of work, man. And he said something very interesting the other day about working here in Boston, you know, like how much time he's away from his family, and he lives here.
Yeah.
It's a lot different when he was working for the Cubs, remote or whatever.
Yeah.
He spent more time with his family. Now, you know, it's hard for him to be there the whole time because of what it represents, what he needs to do. I mean, a lot of respect for those people.
I didn't mean to distract anybody in that room by me wearing a tie on Essen during that hour. I know the sound probably wasn't up.
No. Yeah, I think there was one TV with Nesson and the rest were on the network.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
By the way, which everyone, like, said, oh, ties. I said, let me tell you a story about 2008. Let me tell you a story about 2008 where Alex Cora bet me, like.
Professional.
Yeah, professional. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.